Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from April 9th, 1996.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening and good morning. From the Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands in the west, to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, east, south, into Hammock Country, I call it now, Belize, and farther south into South America, north to the pole. This is Coast to Coast AM, live talk radio throughout the nighttime. And who knows what lies ahead? Only those with fast fingers know. You guys. Open line, unscreened talk radio. Now, let me begin by reading you the top of a business card from somebody named L.R., and I won't give the last name, in Trinity, Texas. It is unique. He sent it to me in the mail. His business card says at the top, "No business, no plans, no worries, no money, no future. Too healthy to beg, too lazy to work." And that's his business card. Then down at the bottom it says, "Ain't got much, don't want anything, ain't mad at nobody, ain't running for nothing, and waiting for the third of the month." Maybe some kind of check arrives on that day. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. What would you put on your business card about you? Huh? Would it be different than this? No business, no plans, no worries, no money, no future, no too healthy to beg, too lazy to work. What would you put on your card? Montana. Back at the top of the news again on CNN, the 17th day of the standoff, and here we go again. Talks between the so-called free men and federal officials through mediators have broken off. Bad news. Carl Oz, a Montana state representative, says the talks, had been moving toward some sort of resolution. Now they are not scheduled to resume at all. The freemen allowed a Soldier of Fortune reporter to interview them. They led him to a building they call their Supreme Court. They said they will not negotiate with the FBI, that they will not, quote, breathe life into their fiction, end quote. Now, here is the demand of the freemen. They are demanding of the FBI an all-male common law grand jury. Now, maybe there is something about their philosophy that I don't understand. I understand, believe it or not, though a lot of people don't think I do, about common law and what they think that it is. But what about the all-male part? Why would they want this common law grand jury of theirs to be all male? And is there anything in common law that would make it so that it should be all male? Why could women not judge them, I wonder? I mean, even in their own minds, I wonder why women couldn't be part of the jury. Montana's attorney general said, quote, "We are not going to establish a separate justice system just for these people," end quote. The reporter from Soldier of Fortune says he thinks it's going to be a long-term standoff. Do you believe these men have a right to, in effect, demand their own justice system, an all-male common law grand jury? They want to be judged by their own, by their own rules, in their own so-called justice system, which I'm sure would render them a verdict of, no, you don't have to pay taxes. No, you don't have to obey laws. Yes, it's okay to threaten local officials who are not doing what you constitutionally think they ought to be. See, they think they haven't done a thing wrong. They want a jury that'll say, basically, you can put a lien on somebody's property, some official you don't like, and then write checks against it. So I guess I'm just asking, do you think their demands are reasonable, that they be judged by their own system, their own grand jury, made up of all male constituents for some indecipherable reason? Do they think only a man could understand and judge the concepts that they proffer? Interesting. Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols, the accused suspects in the Oklahoma City bombing, want different trials. Their attorneys want to separate them, say they plan to use very different strategies of defense. 'Twas the first day of hearings in Denver since the trial was moved from Oklahoma City. The two suspects were moved pre-dawn, in the dark, in a convoy to court. The judge in the case delayed a ruling on a defense request for CIA documents that McVeigh's attorney says they hope will show that terrorists or white supremacists are responsible for the bombing and not their clients. Make that plural. The government is going to be reluctant to turn these over. Says basically you're going to have to take our word for it. As more and more people turn to violence to achieve their goals, whether it's threatened violence by the free men, so-called, in Montana, the bombing of Oklahoma City, or now the Unabomber. This is Bomb Central. Federal agents continued a painstaking search of Unabomber suspect Theodore Kaczynski's cabin Tuesday as evidence mounted higher and higher, linking the reclusive former math professor with a 17-year bombing campaign. They found in his cabin something called a hit list. And his hit list included airline executive, geneticists, and computer industry, in about that order. 10 of the 16 bombs that he set off were in those areas. So evidence continues to mount against the Unabomber. This piece of email, Art, the only time I read the Unabomber's manifesto was on the Internet. I received his message through the media that he feels he's contributing, through the media, he feels is contributing to the demise of our culture. I, too, believe in disastrous results of the quickening, though I think technology is not the means to the end. People's attitudes toward the nature of life will cause the end. We have it all backwards. Ironically, the end of the quickening will be nature taking it all back, I'm sure. And while we're on the subject of nature taking something back, a volcano long dormant on the island of Montserrat is not dormant anymore. It is belching steam and smoke. Scientists say the big one may be about to let go. The area has been pretty well evacuated. Now, you'd have to be hiding somewhere to not see that Mother Earth obviously is up to something. Now, there are volcanoes all over the place, either threatening to come alive, simmering, or seemingly just about to end dormancy, a long period of dormancy, and there's something moving around down there. Hot lava, pressure, change is in the wind. Can't you feel it? Beating of the illegal aliens in Southern California, Riverside, was added to today, or that which we saw was added to, with audio tapes recorded by a highway patrol guy who was there. And they seem to show the officers, as they beat these people which began right away, were screaming, "Get down," again and again and again, get down on the ground," they said. There was no Spanish tried, these people did not speak English, until after the beating. The CHP patrol officer said, "Those SOs, meaning sheriff's office guys, were wailing on those guys. All I did was grab mine and throw him to the ground." Then he said, "There are cameras here," referring no doubt to the choppers circling overhead, "but we didn't have any part of it." Now, I think that the audio tape proves the attack was not racist. There were no epitaphs being hurled, but just nightsticks coming down. So it was not racist. They weren't saying this or that about them as they beat them. Still, when you see it, it seems, even with the audio, to be entirely excessive. As you know, the two beaten have filed a $10 million lawsuit. It's a lot of money. Here is a piece of email I received on this subject. "Art, I'm a deputy sheriff in Orange County, California. I work a split shift, usually get to listen to your AM Coast to Coast show for about an hour on the way home, 2:30 in the morning to 3:30. First, I want to say I enjoy it. Now I have a what-if for you. With all the problems with illegal immigration, in particular from Mexico, what if America took over Mexico by whatever means necessary and made it part of the U.S.? A 51st state, if you will. With all the money we spend trying to help Mexicans out of the U.S., it seems it would benefit everyone on both sides of the border if we took them in. Land, resources, and all. What do you think?" Well, I've never thought that was a good idea. And if you think we have a southern border problem now, if the real southern border of the U.S. were terminating in Central America, and we were as lax about enforcing our border as we have been with our present southern borders, our problems would have just begun. As you know, Americans are evacuating Liberia, formed a couple hundred years ago by freed U.S. slaves. They are now in a full-blown civil war, and our military is trying to get the Americans out. A lot of them are holed up in the embassy. A lot of them have yet to get to the embassy. Tobacco news. And ex-Philip Morris exec, former Philip Morris executive, has admitted in a memo, turned over a memo, that Philip Morris tried to determine the minimum nicotine levels to keep smokers hooked. In other words, as they began to get pressure from the government many years ago, they did research to try and figure out the minimum amount of nicotine they could have in there to keep everybody hooked. Now, that clearly implies, flies in the face of the executive that said nicotine is not addictive. In fact, they all said it. Remember, lined up like little cigarettes standing on a table. This facts, Art, ABC documented that the FDA is going to declare cigarettes to be a medical device, delivering nicotine soon to be declared a controlled substance. Aren't you and one in five Americans are going to be, by FDA governmental decree, criminals overnight? The entity of government needs revenue to survive. It in itself creates nothing in the free market. By definition, it can only confiscate. But to make this personal activity a crime begs the question, what common activity will be illegal tomorrow? People know I love cats, so they send me a lot of cat-related stuff. And Arthur in Oklahoma City, same name, sent me a photograph of his cat drinking something out of a glass using a straw. I mean, I've got it right here. This cat is definitely drinking this glass of whatever it is from a straw. That's amazing. Absolutely nothing short of astounding, in my opinion. Now, this is not so cute, and you've got to wonder how any human being can be like this. This is from the Associated Press, and it was printed in the Sarasota Herald Tribune, Sarasota, Florida. A man has been arrested after being accused of inciting his pit bull to attack a cat, which was injured so badly it had to be euthanized. Broward Sheriff's deputies called to the scene found a stray cat dangling from a tree with fishing line and gashed open from its chest to its belly. It was taken to a veterinary hospital but couldn't be saved. Witnesses say the suspect, 19 years of age, set the animal swinging, then encouraged his pit bull terrier to attack it. In a statement to deputies on Thursday, Hayes denied that he ordered his dog to attack the cat, said he pulled the dog off the cat. He was charged with animal fighting and baiting. If convicted, he could be sentenced to 5 years in prison and fined $5,000. So I wonder how you feel about that. A cat hung from a tree by fishing line so a pit bull could tear it up. Too steep a sentence, folks? Or would you say just about right? Or would you say far too harsh? After all, it was only a cat. And so I wonder how you would react to that. Too easy? Just about right? Too harsh? Anyway, we'll be back. Two-way talk coming right up. Incidentally, I want to thank the lady who sent me the Oprah show with the Hensel twins. Co-joined twins. It is the most remarkable story I've ever seen in my whole life. And I mean just remarkable. Two girls, one body. Separate organs above the waist, common organs below the waist. Two heads on one body. Both of them relatively healthy 6-year-old girls. So, just one thing I would like to know from you religious types out there. Would that be one body, two heads, duplicates of some organs, and would that be one soul or two? Anyway, it was remarkable. Thank you, ma'am, for sending it. Should have her name. I don't right now. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 9th of April, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Live talk radio underway from the high desert to the world. And toward that end, the only number I didn't give there is our international line from anywhere in the world. Simply dial your AT&T USA direct access number for whatever country you're in. There's a whole list, by the way, up on my webpage. And then dial toll-free 800-893-0903. That means it's toll-free for you no matter where you are in the world. Really, truly, toll-free. It is the first international toll-free line ever established, and it's going to be followed on shortly by a trip on to shortwave. We're going to shortwave. Now, you're not going to believe this, or maybe you will. I'm not sure I do, but with regard to the freeman's demands, freemen, their demands, they want an all-male jury of their own, common law jury. All male, and I couldn't figure that out. Somebody has faxed me the following. Get ready, gals. Art the reason that the freemen have asked the jury be all male is rooted in legal terms. Testimony is derived from the Latin testes and basically means to swear upon one's testicles. Since women have no testes, they're under the law qualified to neither offer up nor to hear testimony. I hope this enlightens you to their view, which is not exactly what I would call very enlightened. That's my comment at the end. Hi, Art. Here is a true story for you. About 2 months ago, a man showed up for his court appearance in Hillsboro, Oregon. Brought with him a large group of friends and supporters. When the judge called his case to be heard, the man stepped forward, motioned for his friends to come with him. The judge asked curiously what was going on. The man sincerely replied that he was there for his trial and that he had brought a jury of his peers with him. Nice try, kind of reminded me of the freeman. Out to lunch, from Scott. And then regarding the man who hung the cat from the fishing line, we have real mercy here. Let the punishment fit the crime. Hang the man from the tree naked and let the pit bull go at him. Oh, my. So, are you ready? I don't know if I am, but here we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art Bell.
Yes.
This is Amos from Memphis.
Hello, Amos from Memphis. How you doing?
You do sound different on the telephone.
No one ever says that. Turn your radio off, Amos.
My radio is not on.
Okay. You are, though, so go ahead.
Okay. I got a what if for you.
Okay.
What if life is a video game?
What if life is a video game? Well, actually, when you think about it real hard, Amos, real life in America does somewhat resemble the game Doom 2. You know that game, Amos?
No, I know Doom.
Doom? Well,
yeah.
Then you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So maybe life is, maybe we're some sort of intergalactic video game and we're all just little pieces running around.
No.
That's it, Amos?
Well, you don't seem to be the Antichrist to me.
Oh, I see. Your question was a test?
No.
All right. Well, thank you for that vote of confidence that I don't seem like the Antichrist. Ah, boy. Which would be worse, by the way, to be the Antichrist or a 99th degree Mason? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Tom at Santa Barbara.
Hi, Tom.
You know that autopsy, or not the autopsy, the Siamese twins you're talking about before the beginning of the
They call them co-joined twins, but basically one body, mm-hmm. two legs, two arms, two heads.
Well, the reason I mentioned autopsy is because the first autopsy performed in the New World was in 1533, and it was on a pair of Siamese twins. And the priest wanted to see if, if he was dealing with two souls or with one soul, and he decided he was dealing with two souls.
Since when? On the basis of what physical evidence?
I'm not sure. I don't have any details, but maybe one of your listeners does. I just have the general information.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you. But I know of no scientific way of measuring the presence of a soul. We've had people who have seen souls depart at the moment of death. As I said on yesterday's program, they actually measured a difference in weight at the moment of death. That was really fascinating. But how, through an autopsy, one could determine the presence of a soul, I would not know then or now. I don't think you can do that. I don't think there's any little area of the body that you can cut open and say, oh, that's where it was. See? It's empty. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Jamie in South Dakota. Let me grab my radio.
Okay, Jamie, also you're going to have to speak up good and loud for us. You're not really strong.
Okay, there we go.
Good.
I know a little bit about the Freeman thing with why women can't be on the jury.
Okay.
I heard a program, it must have been on CNN or something, and they don't allow women to vote or do much of anything in their society.
So it would seem.
So I think that's probably why they can't be on the jury. If you're not allowed to vote, you certainly wouldn't be picked for jury duty. So,
not very enlightened, huh?
No, definitely not. I think they're pretty much just around to work and clean and do all that good stuff.
Well, interesting. I guess that the faxer that I read had it right then.
Yeah, I've never heard that part of it, but
just makes you want makes you want to run right over to Montana and ask if you can join.
Oh yeah, I wish I was there. I really do.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye bye.
Take care. Yeah, not very enlightened. In other words, women have no right. They have no testes, so they have no rights under the law to either give testimony or hear testimony. I wonder how a free man would feel if he was charged with murder, and the only witness that could prove him innocent was a witness without testes. Then what? You think he'd say, she can't testify, save my life? Or do you think there would be a courtroom conversion? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. This is a socialist from Kansas City.
So early.
I got you fired up last night.
You did, yes.
I got
Is it truly your mission in life to get your message across or just to poke at me?
Oh, poke at you, of course.
Yeah, I kind of thought that.
Hey, it's funny. Okay, my friend.
I thought you'd like this business card, by the way. You heard me read the business card. It would apply to you so well. No business, no plans, no worries, no money, no future, too healthy to beg, too lazy to work.
Now, how do you figure that, Mr. Bell?
Just from listening.
From listening to me?
Yeah.
Too lazy to work? I've worked since I was 14.
Well, I know, that's all right. I wasn't applying every one of these to you, obviously.
Okay, we've eliminated that. What was the other one?
No business, no plans, no worries, no money, no future, too healthy to beg, too lazy to work. Yeah.
You know, I think every one of those apply to me.
Well, that's what I...
Everyone.
Yeah, okay. Well.
Hey, let's... you aren't going to get off the hook about this. This is the way you right-wingers obfuscate the issues.
Obfuscate.
Obfuscate, thank you.
Yes. What particular issue are you referring to?
Oh, you know, what we were trying to talk to you about last night before we got sidetracked on it. To the U.S. being a terrorist nation.
Oh, well, you're the one who said that, not me.
Ask those illegal aliens who... What about this, Mr. Bell? Would you say the majority of the people in the world determine what reality is? If you took a vote, you know...
I'm not sure that reality, in its true sense, is determined by anybody. It is observed accurately.
But you'd have to agree that if most of the people... agreed this was reality, that's what it is, right? The majority of the people? I mean, if you took a vote...
I don't know if that's an absolute rule.
How about truth?
I would think most people, or the majority of people, are capable of observing reality when they see it.
How about truth? Does that apply to truth?
Yes, it does. Truth is not determined simply because the majority of the people believe it. Truth is an absolute.
Well, then maybe this isn't the greatest country in the world.
Why would you say that?
Because that's your tenet, that the U.S. can do no wrong.
I've never said that. Never.
Maybe if we took a vote of the majority of the people in the world, if we ask them to name their a terrorist state in the world.
Oh, you're
don't you think the U.S. would lead that?
You're back to be, the U.S. being a terrorist state? You know, it just makes me think that you haven't seen any terrorist states for you to say that.
You know, I think that we do have ideals in this country. You know, they're real noble ideals, but we don't always live up to them. You know, that war down there wasn't about
Nicaragua?
Iraq wasn't about
Iraq?
Principles.
It
was played to be principles, but it was about money and oil and power.
I don't deny that. I never did at the time. Of course it was. Thank you very much for the call. We have always said that we will fight, and one time we're saying, if necessary, go to nuclear conflict over the issue of access to oil. So I have never, ever denied that. Now, the fact that they invaded a neighboring nation is a separate issue. But surely, yes, business, oil, economics, all had something to do with it. You bet. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, this is Dale from Billings.
Hi, Dale.
I just watched Inside Politics on CNN, and there was a little piece on there about Dan Rostenkowski.
On his way for about a year and a half.
Yeah, he's going to do 17 months for a couple of counts, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
And I guess part of the deal was he, the judge ordered him or has requested that he pay $1,800 a month for his incarceration fees.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mr. Rostenkowski did about 30 years or so in Congress, and I would have to guess his pension probably is in the neighborhood of Tom Foley's, which is about 10 grand a month.
That's a good bet.
You know, I think... this country, we go after you know, a lot of the deadbeat dads. Why can't we just deduct that $1,800 out of his pension?
I would think that they probably could.
I think that's probably something they should look into.
Mm-hmm. You feel sorry for Dan on his way to the pokey?
Not a bit.
Not a bit.
You know, quite some time ago, I did a little stint for some drunk driving, and believe me, I paid for my incarceration.
What did it cost you?
Well, I think it was about neighborhood of $40-$45 a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Rostenkowski must be a different level of maintenance.
I would say so.
I wonder if that entitles one to, order the interior decoration done the way you want it, have the pay channels as well as a normal cable.
Maybe some maid service, too.
Maid service, yeah. Mm-hmm. You'd think it would at that cost. All right, thank you very much for the call. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Art.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Byron from Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Byron.
Hey, yeah, everybody talks like Montana's got their own little thing with these free men. Here in Indiana, we've got our little thing going with them, too.
What's going on there?
Oh, it's not people held up in houses, but they are passing their little checks off and trying to pay their bills and just... Here today, there's a lady going to jail for 6 months or something like that. And here in the past year, we had a group, a man and a wife that refused to give their fingerprints and refused to do anything. So the judge held them in contempt of court for almost half a year. Finally just got tired of them and just chucked them off and let them go and... And that's the Freeman thing.
You've got your radio on, don't you?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact.
What am I hearing in the background there?
You are hearing a cooling system.
Well, then it can talk. All right, there, that's better. Anyway, where were you headed?
I hear too many people sit there and try to make excuses for them. People in the past have called you and said, oh, it's a witch hunt and all this, and that's just a bunch of baloney. Got a bunch of crackpots who think they can start writing checks on everybody else's accounts. And
that basically is what it comes down to. Thank you. Look, these are people who had financial problems. One way or the other, they lost their farms. They lost what they had. And I think it's epidemic today. You blame somebody else. Whatever it is that goes wrong, it's somebody else's fault. It's some corrupt official's fault. It's another way of blaming, more directly than many of you do, the government for whatever ills you might have. So that's my take on it. I think that's what they're doing, and I think that caller had it basically correct. Now, I observed, by the way, this is, I think, really, really interesting. Maybe you can explain it to me. My mail is full, just absolutely stocked full, as the early days of the discussion we had about the free men, stocked full of people saying how ignorant I am, how I need an education, how I just don't understand properly these free men claims, or I couldn't be saying what I'm saying. The only support that I had, basically, in the beginning now, came from Montana. Isn't that interesting? The people of Montana, on the phones, in the mail, had one thing to say. The people that are really around these so-called freemen, they had one point of view. Everybody elsewhere seemed to want to have another, to make of these men some great martyr for some great cause, not paying taxes, being able to make money out of nothing. And the mail ran the same way. How uneducated I must be to not understand the system they're using, why it's not okay, why it is okay, I guess they would say, to threaten local officials, to create bank accounts from liens derived from their own justice system, and then to write what amount to hot checks on those accounts. Well, that's cool, and if I just had more of an education, I'd understand why that is cool. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
How are you doing, Art? You godless heathen, you. That aside, our Portland Oregonian up here, you got the word answer, 492, by the way. Finally told about the Palo Verde episode going down there that Doc was letting me know about.
Oh, yes, so, which now, by the way, has been resolved.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what they said, but who knows? You know, it took them a week to come out with it.
Well, even Doc sent me a fax which apologized for undue alarm, and he realized that everything's okay there.
Well, that's good. That'll rest my heart since he said it. I'll believe him before I believe the UPI or
AIDS. There you go.
Got another thing here. You know about the mad cow disease, then it's, you know, Creutzfeldt-Jakob in humans. Well, up here in Oregon, we just had a case of Creutzfeldt-Jakob.
I know.
It was about 5 years ago, and it's come out, and the man ate a lot of lamb, and it turns out that Oregon was, I don't know if it's our forensic deal down there for catching poachers or whatever, but we're set up to where we can test for this, and so Oregon's going to kind of start testing, and I think we're going to be the testers for the country. But yeah, guaranteed Creutzfeldt-Jakob, you know, it was proven. And they say it's about a 1 in a million chance of catching it. You know, if I would get those odds, I'd be playing the lottery every day.
Well,
so, that might scare some people out there. Don't mean to.
I'm not giving up my burgers.
Well, I think I'll just cook them a little better.
Well, you know, you may do that, but I wouldn't rest easy because they say that cooking makes no difference.
Really?
If it's in there, it doesn't kill it. So,
yeah, I hear your background music going on. Is it okay if I hold? I got one more thing to bring up.
You do, huh? Is it good?
It's a good one, yeah. It's
all
your
right.
Cat lover and a Sinophile, so you'll probably like this.
All right, we'll hold for a cat story. Why not?
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Thank you.
Spectrum Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from April 9th, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. I'm Art Bell. Free men are at it again here. Thought it was going to be settled. Now it doesn't look like it's going to be settled at all. They want a jury of their peers, comprised only of men, into some sort of grand jury of their choosing. In other words, their own justice system based on common law, which they say only allows for men to be on the jury, which I thought was kind of strange. But then I got a fax that explains it, sort of. Art, the reason that the free men have asked that the jury be all males is rooted in legal terms. Testimony is derived from the Latin testes, and basically means to swear upon one's testicles. Since women have no testes, they're under the law qualified to neither offer up nor to hear testimony. So in other words, no women on the jury. Now, Lynn, a woman from North Hollywood, listening to KABC, just faxed me, said, "Dear Art, as for the Freeman, just build a wall around the compound and declare it to be a federal prison." And that's all there is to that. And another woman faxed me and basically said, if that's the way they feel about testes, then why don't we have them removed? Either with or without anesthesia. Your choice, she says. Obviously not real happy about all of that. Montserrat is about to go up in the Caribbean. Scientists there say it could be the big one, and it really may let go. Other than that, yeah, here's, by the way, let me read her facts. Art, I know this is bad, but maybe we should remove their testes. Then they would know what it is like to be a woman. Then they could get a real feel for it. Now, that would be with anesthetic or without. You vote. Somebody wrote me this fax. When I die, I want to go peacefully, like my grandfather did in his sleep. Not screaming like the passenger in his car was. That's awful. Dear Art, if California thinks it has problems with illegal immigrant related expenses, education, welfare, and so forth, what's going to happen if the illegals that were roughed up by the sheriffs win their multi-million dollar lawsuits? How many of the thousands of Mexicans crossing our borders will give the police, pardon the expression, a run for our money? Tom in Gales Creek, Oregon. And then responding to the two gals, and again I want to thank the lady who sent me the Oprah tape of the two gals, of the two girls. That was an amazing tape. Two heads, three or four lungs, and everything below the waist, singular. Two arms, but two heads. And I asked, what about souls? And this person writes, two hearts, therefore two souls. So, that's interesting. They are indeed separate personalities, or appear to be, so it would be reasonable to assume that if there are souls, there are two present in these young ladies. And then we talked about the man who was arrested. He took a cat, this is from the Sarasota Herald Tribune, hung it from a tree with fishing line, and allegedly had his pit bull have at the cat. He was charged with animal fighting and baiting, convicted, could be sentenced to 5 years in prison, fined $5,000. You think that's too light or too heavy? You're back on the air again. Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Bell, back on the cat kind of thing there.
Yes.
Do you get HBO by chance?
I do.
Did you catch that cruelty and animal show on HBO last night, I guess?
No.
Well, good for you. They were, well, being as you like to go to China and all that, you know their affinity for weird foods.
Yes.
They kind of showed the prescribed method for cat, and believe me,
hammer on the head, I believe it is.
Yeah, but, you know, I've dispatched animals the same way, being a hunter and whatnot, but, you know, all they did was knocked it out, basically, took it.
You know what? I actually don't want to hear this.
Okay. All right.
Spare me.
Just watch that show, and then maybe you'll be talking to Mr. Crane, and you guys can plan on someplace else besides China or whatever for a vacation.
All right. See you later. Well, look, just because I go to China doesn't mean that I have to either observe the way they go after their animals or what they eat. Now, I'll tell you, when we were in Bangkok, Bob Crane did, we think, eat something that either barked or meowed. We kind of think barked at one time. It's hard to say, but he went out, very adventuresome, you know, in Bangkok. They've got street vendors, and they have these large pots of stewing whatever. You know, there's a lot of stuff that floats in it. And you don't exactly know what it is. And Bob got adventuresome, and he went down there, and the guy was very nice, you know, very friendly, very excited that an American would come to one of these little street side vendors and have something to eat. So he served it up to Bob, and Bob could not handle the odor coming from the food and tried to give it back. Well, the guy came with a whole bunch of onions and dumped the onions in to mask the odor coming from this whatever it was. And Bob did, in fact, eat whatever it was. And to this day, we don't know. And to this day, I would think he wouldn't want to know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Lucy from Boise.
Hi, Lucy from Boise.
Good morning. I have just a couple short statements for you.
Sure.
Shoot the pit bull. Arthur's cat sucks. And Rusty's judge needs to grow some testimony. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Yes. I had a feeling that women were going to react this way. I don't think the free men have done a lot to engender support now from women. If this is true, that only those with the proper plumbing can be judges or witnesses. And I say, as I said last hour, now, suppose one of these free men were accused of murder, and the only witness that could absolutely testify and free one of these free men was a woman. Think they'd allow her to testify, make an exception? Otherwise, he goes to the gallows. So it seems to me there'd be a courtroom conversion, or maybe he'd go to the gallows saying, no, thank you, I don't want any mere woman testifying for me. No, thank you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Wow. I can't believe I got through.
Believe it.
It's amazing. I just started listening to you, a few months ago as I came into having insomnia, worrying about what I'm going to be doing next year after I've graduated from school.
College?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It began to bother you. In other words, even at this point, you still have not decided?
Well, I'm going to graduate school.
Okay.
And figuring out which one was going to take me, or actually letting them figure it out while
sure.
I waited.
What are you leaning toward? I mean, do you have any idea at all of what you would like to do?
I'm going to teach college one of these days.
All right.
I have to finish up a doctorate, and actually I'll be going to Notre Dame next fall.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. It's wonderful. I called about the guy with the cat and the dog.
Yes.
Because I was actually married once, and my wife had some problems. She wasn't as nutty as that kid, but she had some problems. She went to a therapist. She kept going to that therapist. And after 5 years with that business, she still thought she was still didn't have a handle on things. And this kid sounds pretty, well, nuttier than that. And
what, did her problem involve animals?
No. It was just, you know.
Something else.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, suburban housewife craziness. And she never figured out how to get herself fixed after 5 years. So we're going to rehabilitate this poor kid and straighten him out so he can live in society, I think, at least 5 years to
5 years in the pokey?
Yeah, let them work us out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember a movie called The Stepford Wives?
Yeah, actually.
Maybe that's the way the Freemen feel about women.
You know, you may be right, because they certainly didn't have any, well, any...
What do you think? I thought I was asking a rather good question. If women are not even allowed to testify for men, and there was a woman who could give witness to the fact that a free man did not commit murder, do you think he would have a courtroom conversion and allow her testimony,
or maintain
until the end that her equipment wasn't right?
Well, I think these guys are just sleazeballs, so they'll have the conversion.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. We'll be right back. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
I'm Don the Immortal.
Don the Immortal?
You know, the Mall Immortal.
The Moral... We talked
some time ago.
The Moral Immortal, yes.
The Mall Immortal. I'm the one who people saw the aura.
Oh, yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to call and let you know, I know that you're not the Antichrist because I know who the Antichrist is, and I can describe for you exactly how he will die.
Okay.
He'll be struck by lightning and his head will explode.
Cool.
That's basically how it'll happen. And it won't be all that long because he's here.
And his head will explode. So we should watch stories for exploding heads after bolts of light.
It'll come from somewhere in the Midwest. I also wanted to tell you that I found out my friend's cat is immortal as well.
Can you tell me where in the Midwest? I mean, just narrow it down a little bit. That'd be fun. There are a lot of thunderstorms.
The Great Lakes region.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Sometime in the next, close to the end of the next 15 years, I would say.
Struck by lightning and an exploding head. That's going to be very dramatic.
I should say so.
And I would think that God might utilize something like a lightning bolt to do his work.
He has before.
Mm-hmm. Well, heaven knows you've been around to see it, huh?
For some time.
Mm-hmm. How long, actually?
I'm the one who's only been around about 35 years, Gary.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, call me in about 40 years, or whoever is sitting in this seat, and then we'll see if you're still immortal, then, I mean, we've got something to talk about here. But it seems to me, we once opened a line for immortals, too. Probably that guy in Nashville hated that. But we had a line open for immortals, and I may do that again, too. They're fun to talk to. Particularly the ones that claim to have been here for hundreds or even thousands of years. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, how you doing?
Just fine.
First of all, I want to thank you. I'm a police officer. I work the vampire shift.
Yeah.
You're the only thing that keeps me going.
The vampire shift.
The vampire shift.
It's the... there is more fun on the third shift, or as you call it, the vampire shift, or the graveyard shift, than any other shift during the day. I was a police dispatcher for Monterey County.
Uh-huh.
911 system there. And I can tell you, the cops on that shift had more fun.
Well,
doing more things that they probably should not have been doing.
Yeah, we do that. We race to Helena, Arkansas, just to see if we can do it before our shift's over.
Yeah, you see? And that's one of the milder of the things that's done on the third shift.
Yeah. The past couple of nights, you've had people talking about technology, and I wanted to throw my two cents in worth.
Please do.
First of all, like you, I'm something of a technophile. I met the girl I'm married to over the internet. And it's been going great.
Were you separated by great distance?
I was at Mississippi State. She was at Michigan State.
Wow.
And but it's worked out great. I mean, this was years ago, and it's really worked out great.
Love one bite at a time.
Yeah, something like that. The people you've got that are anti-technology, it seems to me that they're really against the big things. They're against the internet. They're against the nuclear power.
You know, you want to hear something really funny?
Sure.
I got an email message through the internet earlier today that said that the guy who called me the other day and said all technology is evil was dead right. And this came to me over the internet.
Over the internet.
That's right.
Well, I went to ask Well, I wanted to make my comment. It seems to me that the smaller technology is what's really doing us in. And I got two examples that are somewhat facetious, but I think this is worth thinking about.
Okay.
Velcro.
Yes.
We put Velcro on shoes, and children are the ones that you see these shoes on most often. The first discipline most Americans learn, after we've learned to go to the bathroom in certain places, mm-hmm. is to tie our shoes.
It's true.
Velcro has made it possible for parents not to inflict that discipline on their children.
So, in other words, one day soon, possibly before the end of the millennia, we will have an entire generation of people that doesn't have the slightest idea. The entire art that mankind has developed of tying shoes will be lost.
Exactly. That art's gone, and the discipline that came along with learning that is gone as well.
You know what?
What?
I wear shoes with... You want to hear? Listen, listen to this. Now listen. Can you hear that? That's my...
You wear the Velcro.
Right. And I now that I think about it, the art of tying my shoe, it's... let's see. Can I remember? Vaguely. Only vaguely. Yes. Genetic memory, perhaps.
Well, I got a second one for you. One that's equally bad, and this is one that I inflict on myself.
All right.
The snooze alarm. Every night, Americans make a commitment to themselves to wake up at 6 o'clock the next morning, and every morning at 6 o'clock, they decide it'll be 6:15 instead.
That's true.
Those two little bits, those two little things are just, they're ripping the discipline out of us. And
well, I guess the thing to do, a good disciplinarian, knowing the weakness, would set the clock for 5:45, hit it once, and be up at 6.
Well, you know, I do that.
You know what my wife does? You know what she does? It drives me absolutely crazy. She sets clocks ahead.
So that she'll think she's late and be there on time.
Correct.
I've known people that did that.
But then she, knowing that they're set ahead, doesn't bother with it and still ends up late anyway.
Okay, well, I guess we can always trick ourselves into failing.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. I'm a nut about time. When the time changes, I will put on WWV, the National Bureau of Standards, and I will insist that every watch, every clock, everything, and believe me, I must have, well, I did it the other night, so I'm going to guess I've got 30 clocks, honest to God, that have to be set. So it's a horrible time of year, twice a year for me, to go around and reset all clocks. But for me, a clock is nothing. If it's not dead on, if it's not dead on, it's a piece of garbage. Not even to be kept around. Should be just trashed. And I love clocks that are on time, and I hate clocks that are consistently not on time. It's just one of those compulsive things of mine. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. I agree with you 100% on the clocks.
You do?
I, too, am a freak and go around and set them right to the split second.
Gotta, I mean, what good are they?
For the VCRs especially, you know, you got to have them on there, you screw up your programming, you know, you're recording.
Absolutely correct again.
I wanted to comment on the guy with the that was tormenting that poor cat.
Yes.
I don't know, I can't think of a punishment that would be bad enough for him, myself. Then I'm emotional about it because I love cats. And I know if it were my cat, I'd kill the guy myself. And I think I've heard you comment something to that yourself in the past.
It would be very difficult, very, very difficult for me to restrain myself.
Right, exactly. And I think there's something seriously wrong with a person like that, that, you know, it was to prevent them from tormenting kids the same way. They get a little older, or maybe he even does that now. You never know. So I just don't know what to do with him. I don't think any punishment could be severe enough, other than let him hang somewhere and let the authorities or whoever whack away at him.
All right, sir. Thank you. I hate admitting that because really it's not just, but not all the feelings we have are. And if somebody was doing that to my cat and I actually caught them in the act, I'm not sure that I wouldn't dispatch them. I'm not sure about that at all. I very well might, and then, of course, I would naturally end up going to jail. So I'm probably not very balanced when it comes to a story like this. I just, you know, torture of animals. God. It's horrible. And yet they don't measure up to a human life. I academically understand that. Sort of. But I don't agree with it.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. We take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Okay, here we go again. On the Freeman, Art, your education, such as it is so limited as to be unbelievable. Rather, you are a twit. You know the truth in what the Freeman are doing, but just don't report it because you don't have the balls to take a stand and admit they may have a point. See, when somebody writes something like this to me, what it really means is, what an uneducated fool you are that you don't agree with me. The Freeman of Montana and other places, the faxer says, Chuck, are doing no more than your government does daily. Write checks on money they don't have, place liens on property, then spend the money before the lien is collected. No problem with that, huh, Chuck? Sheesh. Or this, Art, the Freeman are right. God created women to stay home and have babies and take care of their husbands. The country's been going downhill since 1921 in the passage of the 19th Amendment. Just as no man sits in judgment of God, neither can woman sit in judgment of man. Ooh. Let's read that one again. Just as no man sits in judgment of God, neither can a woman sit in judgment of man. Good Lord. Read your Bible, John says, from Grants Pass. Or this, Art, the Freeman are clearly a bunch of morons. Everybody knows it but them. They're living in the past, need to take a large bite out of reality. So it goes from, all right, here's another one. Oh, no, the same one about staying home. And then this from Jim in Tupelo, Mississippi. Art, if only men can give testimony, does this mean only women can give a standing ovation? Oh, Jim, they're going to hunt you down. Dear Art, regarding the jerk with the pit bull and that poor cat, I think they ought to turn him over to me. He would no longer qualify to stand on a jury of freemen, peers. The dog might be good in a Bangkok pot. Liberals sue in Illinois. God, what a bunch of radicals out there. Holy mackerel. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey there, Marshall calling from Music City.
Music City. Hello there, Marshall.
Oh, how are you?
Fine. Nashville, I take it, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
A few things I wanted to talk to you about. I don't want to sound rude or crude or anything, but it always seems like your program thrives on doom and gloom type of stuff, and I can't understand why you can't really try to talk about any good stuff.
All right, why don't you start us off?
You know, I knew you were going to do that, and I'm totally unprepared.
Oh, darn. See,
no,
sir, is what you hear from me, and I spend 30 minutes at the beginning of the program doing it every day, is recite the current events,
right.
Things in the news. And
things
that make the news are not good. It's not news when it's good. So don't think there are not good things that are not going on out there. It's just they're not in the news. And this is a current events-driven program. So I understand your complaint, but you need... By the way, turn your radio off, please. That's very important. You know, if you have a complaint, then you need to take the first step and, give us something to chew on here. It's not unreasonable.
Well, sometimes you start out the program and you tell about current events and that type of thing, but then you you also, you go into other things and you open up the line for aliens to call and stuff like that.
I do anything. I'll do anything.
I know, but it just sounds so hokey. It's like, come on, aliens calling up?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, I'm sure. Give me a break.
Well, one thing about it, though, sir.
Yes.
You're listening.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, all right. Well, thank you very much for the call. And you make my point, and not your own. You know, look, what we do on this program is whatever we do, whatever comes up, whatever people want to talk about. And it is not limited to that which I bring up at the beginning of the show. In fact, it's not limited to anything at all. So inevitably, when somebody like that calls up, my first comment, he's absolutely right, said he knew it was coming and he still wasn't prepared. Well, go ahead. Bring up your happy little topic. You got something you want to talk about that's all roses and happy? Bring it up and we'll talk about it. Well, I'm not prepared. Well, then, you know, what can I say to you? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Caller from Idaho.
Yes, sir.
Hey, about this pit bull and cat thing.
Yes.
And I know you just mentioned that, you know, perhaps you would go a little bit crazy if you saw somebody doing that to your animal.
Yeah, that's right. I make no excuses for it. I mean, I know that I would, if I killed the guy, I'd commit murder. I'd be committing murder. I mean, there's no question about it. But
that's one place where you could use your brain and just get back at somebody like that. You know, quite effectively without going to jail.
Well, that's later, quiet academic thought. But if I saw it and it was happening at the time, I make no guarantees.
You know, what does it say? What does it say about the human animal when you have, you know, this guy that just called before he wanted a warm, fuzzy story? You know, what about that cat that went into the burning building and
brought out its five kittens? Yeah, he could have brought that up.
You know,
I reported on that. I mean, when there's good stuff out there, I give it a lot of play, and that cat story is one of the ones I gave a lot of play to.
Certainly, and you know, it's kind of a weird twist of commentary on the human race. I mean, when they you know when they're into things like that, and
He even complained about my occasional alien line. I haven't done that in a long time. I should do it again.
Oh, that's a lot of fun.
It's hilarious, and. You know, so I think he had it all kind of mixed up. That's all right.
Well, maybe we need to detestify him or something.
What do you think about that business of only men on the jury?
Ah, that's, well, yeah, it's really backward. It's really, you know, a backwoods kind of old-fashioned thing, you know. It's just another long line of ridiculous, you know, things going on with these freemen. They just, you know, they're in a different world, and it's. I really feel for the people trying to negotiate with these guys. I mean,
I do too, because they're living in the shadow of Waco and Ruby Ridge. They don't want anything to happen. They're walking on pins and needles.
I think somebody has referred to that as Weaver fever.
Weaver fever.
Yes, and but that's okay if it saved lives. That's fine. You know,
I agree with you.
You know,
I agree with you. And somebody else called and suggested maybe a good idea would be to give them fair warning. After that warning has been given, erect a gigantic fence, mm-hmm. declare it a federal prison, mm-hmm. leave it at that.
Or a federal holding facility or something like that.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Thank you very much for the call and take care. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
This is Elizabeth. I've got two little blurbs of good news and a thought.
All right.
94% of the world is at peace.
That's true.
23% of Americans approve of the Gingrich Republican Congress. Thank God, America, we're not going to be right wing. Anyway. Well, we're not.
I wish Newt Gingrich were my daddy.
You wish Newt Gingrich were your daddy?
Yeah.
For what reason?
Because I admire him so much.
But you're not anything like him, Art. You are a free spirit. We're experiencing censorship here in Portland on local talk radio. The guy who called in to complain about you, he does not know how lucky he is.
What guy?
The guy who was, you know, complaining about your style on the radio. You are the essence. You deserve the Freedom of Speech Award of the National Society for Talk Radio Hosts or whatever it is.
Wow.
You do.
Why?
You are the quintessential essence, that's redundant, of free speech, and I appreciate it, especially lately. But anyway,
that's kind.
The Romans used to put their left hand between their legs and grab their virtue.
Yes.
Their virtue, which is Latin for virile, virility. So if women cannot testify because they do not have testicles, does that mean that we don't have to be virtuous because we don't have virility? Can we be wild women now?
No, you must be barefoot, pregnant, and at home, caring properly for your husband. For his every whim and wish.
Well,
somehow I don't see you in that role, Elizabeth.
I've been there. I enjoyed it.
Really?
But I don't think that's how you should spend your entire lifespan.
Really? Somehow I wouldn't have thought of you fitting into that role very well.
One last thought. My big insight from listening to Joy Gilbert, since you brought this up, is that evolution is complexity, diversity, variety. And if you want to know whether something is true or not, ask if it's oversimplified, if it's devolved. And then you can really know whether or not something is evolutionarily advanced. And, you know, women do spend that phase of their life barefoot and pregnant, and they do enjoy it, but that's not all there is of life.
Well, having said that, how do you feel about the free men with their demand for an all-male jury?
I think these guys are taking little tiny pieces of history and expanding them way too much. And I've said that in that debate that I had with that woman over the militia.
You did indeed.
That was my point. Thank you very
much. All right.
Much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And have a good morning. We shall return in one moment. Regarding the latest statement from the participants of the Freeman fiasco, I believe the following will appease women everywhere. Shortly after God created Adam and placed him in the Garden of Eden, where his every need was filled, his every desire, he heard Adam praying. God appeared before Adam and said, "What could he possibly be in need of to be praying so intently?" Adam said, "God, this place is beautiful, and I should be grateful for everything you have given me, but in truth I am lonely." "Ah," answered God, "I understand." And so God removed one of Adam's ribs and created woman, called her Eve, and placed her in the Garden of Eden with Adam. Sometime later, God heard Adam praying again, so once more God appeared before Adam and said, "What are you praying for now, Adam?" Adam replied, "God, the woman Eve is the most beautiful creature I have ever seen. And she is loving, caring, and spends every waking moment trying to please me. But God, she is so stupid. Why, God, would you make Eve so stupid?" Without a moment's hesitation, God replied, "So that she'd love you, Adam." Oh, man. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Rick in Peru, Indiana.
Hello, Rick.
I'm just calling about this guy who says you never reported any good news. I'm sorry, he just burned me up. I had to call.
Okay.
Okay, here's some good news that you've reported. How about this? Let's see. The Unabomber's been captured, possibly.
Yes.
There's some good news.
I thought so.
The Freemen haven't killed anybody. There's some good news.
Yeah, it just all depends on how you think of things. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
That's fine. The only place he fell down terribly was in being able to not being able to offer anything good himself.
Yeah, this is true.
Beyond the complaint.
Also on the Unabomber.
So you have to wonder what he'd do if he had a show, you know.
Yeah.
The Unabomber, yes.
You know, another good thing he could have done is instead of sending bombs, he could have just sent letters that said boom.
Well, he could have. I doubt that it would have engendered the same sort of a response that he's received so far.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is, in essence, what he said, by the way, in his little, or large, I guess, manifesto. It gave the motivation for it. And he said, look, all of these things would not be read, nor if they were read, they would not be paid attention to. And the only way to get them noticed was to kill. He said that. To me, that would seem to rule out the probable success of any insanity plea, which Jerry Spence suggested he might, if he were his lawyer, proffer. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
It's Leonard from South Dakota.
Did you ever find that gate you were looking for?
Gate?
Yeah, you were looking for a gate the other night.
A gate.
Something about Bill Clinton said.
Oh, you mean what to call Mr. Clinton's foray into getting arms to the Bosnians?
Yes, well, I thought that was the beginning of the end. So we should put an end to some of these things. Why don't you call it the end gate?
End gate? Well, because, Leonard, there are going to be gates for as long as you and I are alive. There is not going to be an end gate.
You know what to do about that cat?
In fact, we had to just call it government gate. What about the cat, Leonard?
Well, my dad was a man of common sense, and if you'd ask him what to do about it, he'd say, go get a shovel and bury it, and then forget it.
Yeah? In other words, no big deal, huh?
Well, it's this little strange thing when half of Americans sit up all night and talk about nothing but a dead cat.
So the cat is just meaningless.
Well, let's see. There's something else I should talk about.
Well, I will hold it there, Leonard. So to Leonard, and I guess to other religious people, a cat's life has no significance. Cut down the lives, no problem with hanging it up and letting a pit bull tear it apart. Because according to the religious, a cat has no soul. A cat isn't even worth considering. And to punish a man for torturing a cat? Ludicrous. Cut it down and bury it. Be done with it, according to Leonard. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Art?
That's me.
I just want to call. I've been trying to get through here for a couple of days. The commercial for your flowers.
Yes.
I had them sent to my wife a week and a half ago.
Yes.
And they are everything that you said they were plus.
Thank you. Yes, they are. Sure they are.
They're still just as beautiful as they were 10 days ago.
I know. It's a real deal.
And I appreciate your program. I work a security guard job, a swing shift. I don't get to hear all of it, but I get to hear parts of it. And I enjoy it very much.
Thank you.
I have sent for your book.
Where are you, sir?
I am in Trenton, Michigan. That's south of Detroit.
All right. WJR Country. Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you very much. And, yes, indeed. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy. Well, I guess you will enjoy my book. And while I'm on it, I guess I should give you a number. You know, you can order my book now on the Internet. On my webpage, you can actually order it. Oh, technology. Or if you want to send in a check and get it, or you want to have a credit card and want to get it, I'm going to give you a number here to get a book called The Art of Talk. And you can get the hardcover edition or you can get the audio book. And the number is 1-800-864-7991. Let me give it to you again. 1-800-864-7991. Back now to the phones east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello.
Bart?
Yes.
Hey, I was just calling about those Freeman and the fact that they only want men on their
jury.
The jury, yeah. I know what my wife would say about this. Hang on just a second. I'm getting over on the side of the road. I'm a truck driver.
All right.
She would tell them that, they trust women to raise their children. You know, they'll trust them with that job, but they won't trust them with anything else. And
yes.
Have they never heard of the phrase, the hand that rocks the cradle?
Rules the world?
Right.
Maybe that's what's behind it. Maybe they knew that when they laid down all these laws about how women are supposed to behave.
Right. And I think another thing they're scared of is the reason they don't want them to vote is there's more of them. And they could take over if they really wanted to.
Wasn't there an expression about, anyway, it's too late. How are you going to keep down on the farm once they've seen Paris?
You got it.
Well, I think they've seen Paris.
You bet. I think you'll let the women take care of them.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Yep. How are you going to do that? Once they've seen Paris, that's it. Well, we've had more than one generation that have seen Paris, and they're not going back on the farm. And I don't think the Freemen are going to end up with an all-male jury of their peers, which would probably mean, in their case, people who believe exactly what they believe, and they said under those conditions, we'd be exonerated. And I'm sure they would. We'll be back. You're listening to live all-night talk radio. So the radio station you're listening to ought to be thanked. Every now and then, you might pick up the phone, give them a call, and thank them for carrying this show. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 9th of April, 1996.
The volcano Montserrat is about to let go, they think, in the Caribbean. If it does, we'll get you fairly close reporting in the Caribbean. We'll talk to some people in the Caribbean if she lets go, and it's really going to let go. The scientists say it may be the big one. In Montana, negotiations have broken off with the Freemen. Absolutely broken off. No new talks are scheduled. They let one reporter in from Soldier of Fortune reporter got in and reported back that they demand their own trial, their own common law grand jury, which they say will be all or must be, excuse me, all male. And I wondered a little bit about why all male. And then someone sent me a fax and explained it. Art, the reason that the Freemen have asked that the jury be all male is rooted in legal terms. Testimony is derived from the Latin testes and basically means to swear upon one's testicles. Since women have no testes, they're under the law qualified to neither offer up nor to hear testimony. Hope this enlightens you to their view. Well, I guess it does. That's from Dale in Payette, Idaho. And there's been quite a bit of reaction to that, I might say. Women ought to be barefoot, pregnant, and ought not be in the courts one way or the other. And I sort of wondered out loud what would happen if a free man was accused of murder and the only one who could testify in his defense didn't have the proper body parts. Would he turn her down? Or would there be a courtroom conversion? One has to wonder. And we've also talked a little bit about this awful story from the Associated Press, printed in the Sarasota Herald Tribune, and I guess a lot of other people have seen it too. This guy tied a cat up by its tail and hung it from a tree and then allegedly encouraged his pit bull to attack it, which did, ripped it open, and the cat had to be put to sleep. Now, I thought the interesting caller was Leonard. My comment, of course, as a cat lover was, if I saw somebody doing this to my cat, I'd probably kill them. And then I'd probably go to jail. If I saw the thing coming down, I couldn't guarantee what I would do. That's, of course, not justified, taking a human life because a cat life is being taken. It's not justified, and I know I'd go to jail. It would be murder. Perhaps with extenuating or aggravating circumstances, it would be murder, though. That might be a murder of passion. It really wouldn't be pre-planned. Anyway, I know it would be wrong to take a human life for that reason. And Leonard called, Preacher Leonard called from South Dakota and said that the only thing you ought to do is take a cat down and bury it. No problem at all. In other words, animals are a man's domain to do with as he wishes, and so this ought not be a problem. In fact, this man, if convicted, could be sentenced to 5 years in prison and fined $5,000. And do you think that's far too harsh? Not harsh enough? Do you believe, as Leonard did, is that really the Christian view of things? That such a life, albeit just a cat's life, doesn't matter. It's just not important. It is a animal without a soul. Somebody pointed out they eat them in China. They do. So I guess it depends on how you look at things. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art, Mike in Denver.
Yes, hi, Mike.
Hey, I don't know if you covered this before. I sort of get your radio program hit and miss. But in regards to the, is that the co-joined twins? Is that
yes,
what
oh yes, the co-joined twins.
Okay, I know they share some body organs.
I can tell you roughly how it is.
Okay.
They have two heads, two spinal columns, three or four, they're not sure, lungs, and everything below the waist is shared.
Okay. I am wondering if what's going to happen when one expires. That is one of the, I don't like, because I know they share
well,
one body.
Well, I believe the answer would be they would both die because there are too many shared internal organs that would cause life to stop.
Okay, because I know there wasn't there three lungs and two stomachs, and
yep.
I guess my concern was is if one of the, and I don't want to, this sounds sort of morbid, but if one of the heads were to pass on, would the other one pass on too because they share some organs and they have their own organs?
Well, wow, what an awful question. I would presume that if there was some traumatic damage to the brain of one, that one could possibly even go into a coma while the other remained completely conscious. That could occur. But I believe if there was an affliction that would affect one of the common organs, then obviously both would die. And again, I want to thank the lady that sent me the tape on these two little girls. The Oprah show, I saw it. Remarkable. Absolutely astounding, as a matter of fact. And they're nice little girls. Very nice little girls. And they may grow up and lead, you can't say a perfectly normal life, but right now the doctors really don't know. I mean, they've never seen this occur, really. Never tracked it. They're not exactly sure, even from x-rays, about the internal organs, but they think they've got it right. And these are just two absolutely remarkable little girls. Remarkable. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Tom calling from Montana.
Yes, sir.
Actually, I'm calling from the Bitterroot, where we had quite a bit of a stir last year with the militia. It really crushed us as far as our tourism industry went.
Well, things have not exactly improved this year so far.
No, it's not going very good. But I want to give you a little bit of insight on some of the feelings that we have here in Montana, or at least in the Bitterroot, where it was, you know, pretty hot. There's about half the people that I know, and I work in the restaurant industry, and I have a lot of contact with people.
Yes, sir.
Who feel that this is actually might even be a good thing because they don't want all the nuts. They don't want all the kooks coming out here. They want to keep it rural, a lot of the people. And some of the other people are really hurting financially, economically.
I'm sure.
And it's just something I wanted to bring up to you. And then I heard Rush Limbaugh the other day.
Before you go on with that, maybe you can help me out here.
Yeah.
It has been just about universally, totally true that the people like yourself from Montana have not been sympathetic generally to the free men, and everybody outside Montana is. Now, how do you figure that?
Well, you know, that I...
No, I want to correct that. Not everybody outside Montana is, and people have since changed their minds. But when this thing first began, man, I was getting calls from L.A., San Francisco... you name the big city, and they were saying, right on, these guys are right on. And so I decided, well, let's hear from the people who live there. So for two or three days, I opened the line to Montana. And to the person, except for one guy who really wasn't in Montana, it turned out, the people in Montana said, we hate this. You know, these people actually have been terrorizing us. And I'm talking about the people close in now in Jordan. And we're sick of it.
Yeah. Well, as far as the people in Jordan go, I really can't say anything about that. But I do know about the militia members that were, you know, it was highly publicized in the Bitterroot here. I know a few of them, and I've had the pleasure to, you know, spend even a little bit of time with them. Really nice people. Isn't that interesting? However, you know, there's some other circumstances, too. I mean, like the Freeman, I've heard, what isn't publicized, I don't think, too much is the fact that they are, you know, they're covering, I think, their butts on, like, some debts and stuff. They wrote bad checks and stuff like that. Man, you know, when everybody has a responsibility, if they take out a loan, to pay the loan. You sign an agreement. It's a done deal. You know, you're supposed to make payments. It's a good faith thing.
Yeah, that's how it works, all right.
And as far as their political views goes, I do agree with some of them. But, you know, like I said, I'm just calling to kind of let you know that there is a, you know, there's a lot of people who think differently here about it.
I know, and I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. I understand that very well indeed, and I'm not going to repeat it because I don't need to. I took I don't know how many calls from Montana. And that's what kind of changed things, frankly, and began to turn some heads around out in the general public. And the general public was very, very anti-government. And until they heard from the people in the area, they were on the side of the free men. And anybody who would think otherwise must not have much of an education. Boy, if you don't agree with me, you just don't have much of an education. Check this out. And I missed it, too. I could shoot myself. Art, last night, Gordon Michael Scallion appeared on UPN's TV program, The Paranormal Borderline, and made a startling new prediction for 1996. Mars moon Phobos is going to be pulled from its orbit and sent on a collision course with the Earth's atmosphere. Have you heard GMS mention this before? No, I have not. Anybody else confirm that out there? Has Gordon Michael Scallion said that? Wow. Wow. Art, the fact that women under Black's Law Dictionary definition of testimony cannot legally testify or hear testimony in a court of law does not mean that they, like a eunuch, cannot legally present evidence in a court of law. In the days of old, to testify falsely in a court of law meant the removal of the testifier's testicles upon the discovery of the falseness of said testimony, at least in theory. Well, then he says, P.S., a sicko with a dog needs to have his testimony removed. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art. It's been difficult getting you. I should be getting you on WAI. I'm only 300 miles from San Antonio, but you're fading in and out on me. I wanted to make some points. Number one, Leonard is no Christian. I think we all can see through that.
He'll be unhappy to hear that.
Oh, I'm sure he will be. Although if he truly thinks he is, then a message to Leonard would be, I'm sure you'll see a few in hell. And that's all I can say about Leonard. But I wanted to address the issue of the police in California.
All right.
Pulled over the immigrants.
Yes.
I've been thinking about this for several days. I have a son-in-law that's a police officer, and I have a dear friend that's a police officer. They both thought it was excessive. But they both seem to empathize with the fact that in both cases, the policemen get an adrenaline rush. And I came up with an idea that maybe, and I asked each one of them at separate times, if you were involved in something like that and you did get the adrenaline rush, if you knew you had the okay to, once the people were cuffed, to beat hell out of the car or the vehicle they were in to release that adrenaline. You know? Think of it,
All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you. In other words, to dissipate one's adrenaline by taking it out on the vehicle. You are authorized to beat the hell out of that vehicle. Smash it into little pieces. While the owners lay cuffed on their bellies on the side of the road, and they watch the piece-by-piece destruction by baton of their vehicles and the exhaustion of the adrenaline rush the officers otherwise would use to beat up the individuals. Hey, Art, I have two items. I am dismayed by the lack of coverage of the tensions in the Korean Peninsula. Both the local and national news that I've seen barely mentions it. Well, you're quite correct, and what's going on over there is horrendously dangerous. Now, I have not heard any news in the last, I believe, 12 hours. But the Koreans, North Koreans, are sending hundreds of armed troops into the DMZ. It's kind of a show of, I don't know what it's a show of. It's either the precursor to the resumption of hostilities on the Korean Peninsula, or it's just some sort of political ploy, one of the two. And it's going to be hard to tell until somebody either takes a shot or not. But the South Koreans are sitting on pins and needles on very high alert, as is the U.S. About 2 million people are starving to death in North Korea. And it's a crazed regime anyway, dictatorship. And you should imagine that they might do something stupid. Even the Chinese are telling them to cool it, and they're not. So we'll have to see where that one goes. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This
Hi.
Is Dave from Portland.
Hi, Dave.
And I wanted to make a comment about the cat, but first I would want to pose a question.
Okay.
If Rodney King was entitled to $5 million and these illegal Mexicans are suing for $10 million, I wonder how much money that girl in Okinawa that was raped is entitled to.
Now, see, in her case, she's actually not a U.S. citizen, nor did the beating occur on U.S. territory. So it may be a little different. Those GIs, as you know, were subject to Japanese justice, and it was meted out.
Yeah, it's just kind of a rhetorical question in terms of just the morality of it and the the magnitude of it. But regarding the cat, I wanted to say that Leonard makes a mistake that a Christian can make. You remember, before he said his comment, he said that his father was had common sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, he shouldn't trust his father's common sense. He should trust the Bible. And Solomon wrote, I know you don't want me to read it, so I'll just paraphrase. He wrote that a righteous man cares for animals, but the acts of a wicked man are cruel. And I think we can surmise, based on Solomon, that that boy that killed that cat was cruel.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but hearing him say that reminded me of a lot of movies I've seen where religious fanatics are trying to beat religion into their offspring, you know. They've got their son or daughter down on their hands and knees, whipping them, demanding they repent as sinners and become immediately religious, and that as you're beaten, why you get religion in that manner.
Yeah, if he wants to look that up, by the way, that's Proverbs 12:10.
Thank you, and have a good morning. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. How are you?
Fine. Where are you?
In Windsor.
Windsor, Ontario?
That's the place.
All right.
Yeah, I'm calling about this cat thing.
Yes.
I'm a little bit upset. Who was the guy at the end of the hour there?
Leonard?
Leonard.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and I think everybody's got the whole thing wrong. I think really it wouldn't be up to us to judge. I think what we should do is get a hold of this guy and treat him in the same manner.
Well, my guess actually is that when we are judged one day, you know, I believe in a God and Leonard does too. But they're different gods, apparently, because I think when we're judged, we will be judged by how we treat all life.
Well, I was thinking of something a little more quicker than that, actually.
I understand. You wanted real world, let's hang him by his heels and let his own pit bull go to work on him, right?
No, I was thinking take him down to the local zoo, and since he doesn't have a tail, find another protruding part and
I see.
Put him in the Siberian area.
Very easy to get the mental picture from that, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that I would go that far, though personally, as I've said, I think I would not be able to handle it. If it was my cat and I caught somebody like that in the act, I'd probably probably dispense them.
Yeah, well, I suppose.
Thank you very much for the call. That would just be, that's what one of those sort of what would you do if your wife was raped or killed questions. It's not the same because it's an animal. Obviously, it's an animal. So it is probably wrong to feel as I feel. But I do. So, without apology, I feel that way about animals. And I kind of wonder at the... Is it the Christian belief, and I think it is, really, that an animal is simply unimportant? And that's what Leonard really was saying. Not making any excuses for him, because he said it. But is that part of the Christian ethic, that an animal's life is simply irrelevant? So forget it. Guy doesn't need to be punished or anything else. Just take the cat and bury it. Forget about the whole thing. If somebody wants to use an animal in that way, I believe the logic goes, God put them on the earth for our enjoyment. And if that enjoyment is stringing a cat up and setting our pit bull on it to tear its guts out, watch that, and that's our enjoyment, then that's why God put these animals here. That must be the religious take on it. At least that's the way I received it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 9th of April, 1996.
She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight.
Premier Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from April 9th, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Whatever's on your mind's fair game. Hi, Art. I'm really excited about Real Audio. While my local station droned on tonight with the local baseball game, I jumped on the internet, tuned in WPSL, then WOAI, and reception is great with Real Audio. Looking forward to the day somebody puts the show on demand through Real Audio. I think your sponsors would be elated about being on the air 24 hours a day. I know I would be. I guess what he means is somebody would replay it during different portions of the day. I'm not exactly sure, but I am very excited about Real Audio. It's just part of the technology that we're jumping into. Vidian, two-way video, audio bulletin boards, the internet, the web page, Real Audio going around the world, international toll-free lines. We're in the middle of it all. And coming next, in logical sequence, is shortwave. We're really jumping into the middle of this one, folks. And I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to try to hook up with a European, Eastern European shortwave broadcaster in the million-watt range and get it from here to there by mid-Atlantic satellite. Then go up and cover Europe and Asia and South America just like a big blanket. Anyway, in the meantime, if you're hearing us through whatever means on the internet or by long-distance coverage, WOAI, for example, goes blazing, we now know, into Belize. We've got a fellow who sits down there in a hammock listening to a Sony Walkman, WOAI. So try and imagine that for a signal from San Antonio. Anyway, if you're out there internationally, no matter where you are, it is now toll-free to call us because we have an international toll-free line. So it doesn't matter where you are. The way you do it is get hold of the AT&T operator or get the AT&T USA direct access number for your country. Dial that and then 800-893-0903. That's 800-893-0903, and from any place in the world, you'll be able to call us toll-free. Art, why am I sour on religion? Leonard's everywhere are the reason. Those psychos claim to worship a God who counts all the hairs on our heads. and all the sparrows in the trees. Then say of a cruelly killed cat, no big deal. If that's Christianity, get it the hell away from me, Bill in Seattle. Well, I wouldn't go that far, Bill, and I wouldn't also classify all Christians as in Leonard's corner with regard to the way they feel about animals. Not at all. So I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but with regard to Leonard, who is very strictly religious, obviously that is the way he feels. Dear Art, Kogo reporting at 1 o'clock a 3.2 earthquake in the Dakotas south of Mount Rushmore. A lot of Dakota earthquakes lately, have you noticed? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art?
Yes. Turn your radio off, sir.
Okay, hold on.
That's first thing you got to do is get your radio turned off or it will totally and utterly confuse you. So have it close.
Yeah, Art.
Sounds like you hit your radio with a sledgehammer.
No.
Okay, good.
Close.
Where are you?
I'm there from Oklahoma City.
All right, good.
And I just wanted to talk about that weasel Leonard.
Yes.
And your friend Charlie the liberal that calls in.
Yes.
You know, I don't take either one of those guys seriously. And Leonard, he definitely is not a Christian.
Leonard's very serious.
Yeah, well, he claims to be. But, you know, I believe, you know, that, you know, God gave us dominion over the animals. But he also said that we're to be stewards of all his creation,
yes,
which is the animals and the trees. You know, and everything else, and, you know, I just don't like people stereotyping Christians to be anything like Leonard, because that's not really how they are.
Right, I just sort of gave that disclaimer just before you got online here.
Okay.
I feel the same way, but I do recognize that there are a lot of very strictly religious people who have that view.
Right, right. Well, I know I'm a Christian, you know, and I know that I love animals to death, too, and I'm just like you. I might fly off the handle, too, if somebody ever, you know, tried to hurt my animals.
Yeah, well, we'd both end up in jail.
Yeah.
All right, have a good morning. Thank you. Here's a what-if for you, somebody faxing me a what-if. What if we gave the freemen their own little country right here in the middle of the USA and then refused them any food, money, or help of any kind? We block off the borders of their little country, don't let anyone in or out, and let them fend for themselves. What do you think would happen to them? Well, they'd eventually starve to death. And then we'd be forced to give them billions in foreign aid. That's my first take. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, is this Art?
It
Art
is.
Bell?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Art, my name's Lee, and I'm having a hard time getting a hold of you, the radio station tonight. But I happen to be listening to another program that's out of Phoenix here.
Yes.
And they've got a couple of senators on coming across with, you know, about illegal aliens and educating them, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to get a hold of it, you here the other night, you know, when they had that incident where they...
The beating.
Yeah, the beating.
Yes.
You know, and they didn't have a lot of, what do you want to call it, facts about how they endangered a lot of people's lives after the chase and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to really sound like a bigot, but, you know, I happen to be from Texas. And I'm living in Arizona right now. And, you know, I'm seeing here what I've seen in Texas about 10 years ago. There's a lot of illegal aliens coming into the country. I happen to be in construction trade. That I have watched my pay go down.
I know.
You know, so much.
I know.
That, and then with the other, you know, what do you call it? The minimum wage go up. That, you know, I'm getting caught in this middle, you know. And, you know, like I worked out here about 10 years ago. I'm working for the same wage I was 10 years ago, but doing twice the equipment, twice the work, you know, the stuff like that. And listening to these two senators is what I'm kind of a question I would really like to ask is, you know, I understand a person trying to better themselves anywhere they are at. But, you know, I've seen us over the last how many years now pump money into Mexico. Their economy has not gotten any better.
Well, that is true, thank you, of just about anybody or anything you give money to. When you give it, it rarely accomplishes its goal. When it is earned, then it does. With regard to the aliens that were beaten, no amount of complaining justifies the manner of the beating. It was excessive. It was clearly excessive. Now, having said that, if we would properly police our borders, then this wouldn't happen. So, when you take the kind of approach you're taking, it does run the risk of being dubbed racism or racist. Instead, try taking the tact that I take, and that is that every country is sovereign, every nation, and we are a sovereign nation. We have not only a right, but a duty to protect our borders. And I'm not talking about locking everybody out. I'm talking about having whatever it takes, a wall, physical or electronic or both, so that we know exactly who comes and goes from America. Now, I realize that crops need to be picked, some jobs need to be done that Americans don't do. A lot of industries are dependent on these workers. There's nothing wrong with having them here. And there is every possibility that we could allow, on an as-needed basis, people in to do work. We can certainly allow people to come and visit and have a manner of tracking them so we know where they are. I assure you, when you travel as an American with an American passport, they know where you are and what your business is when you come into their country. And we've got every right to do that here. And if we were doing it, then we wouldn't be concerned about chasing a truckload of illegal aliens down at 80 to 100 miles an hour, because they wouldn't have made it that far. Am I clear? I don't begrudge these people wanting to make a better living, and if I was in Mexico, I'm sure I'd be considering exactly the same thing. Particularly since we make it so damn easy. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hello, Art.
Hi.
This is a clam man from Delaware.
Yes, sir.
Listen, Art, I've been listening to this about the illegal aliens.
Yes.
And I want to say that there's at least one view, and it's mine, is that Americans are born everywhere in the world. People who yearn for and really strive for liberty and justice for all and seek out our country, many of them, even born in Mexico or born in Bosnia or born anywhere else in the world,
yes,
are more American in my view than many of the people who would close our borders are. I understand that we have to control our borders. But I think that we have to recognize that the American dream has more to do with liberty and justice for all than it does to do with jobs or lowered wages or raising wages or mm-hmm. your view of the future or anything else. The idea of America, for me, is an idea that's impossible anywhere else in the world, but that is the idea of liberty and justice for
all.
Well,
I really think Ronald Reagan had it right, and they've been showing that recently. A clip of Ronald Reagan about America. He said, you can go live in France, but you can't be French. You can go live in Japan, but you can't be Japanese. Only in America can you come from another place and come here and be an American.
Absolutely. We've had a Secretary of State who was born in Europe. We've had we can have almost anything except a president, I think, who was not born in this country.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. Thank you. I, too, believe that. And I, too, believe that immigration at some certain level is good for us. Not bad, but good. And I wouldn't stop it. I would simply control it. Now, if you look at the difference between those numbers that we legally allow to immigrate to the U.S. from Mexico, or take any country but Mexico, and then you look at the numbers that are illegally here, there is such a difference. Such a tremendous difference that something has got to be done. And it is our federal government's charge to do it. And if you want to concentrate your efforts on something, your energies on something, petition your local representative to get something done about it. It's as simple as that. I don't want to close the door. I just want to control the door. On the first time caller line, you're on the air.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Well, I would like to observe that perhaps it is Leonard who has no soul. I live with a lovely entity who has the appearance of a cat. And she not only has a soul, but an old soul.
An old soul, yes.
And we both love your program.
That's very nice. I've got one cat who is so human. In the way this cat acts, and so loving,
mm-hmm.
It's my shadow, that we believe if there is reincarnation that this one comes back next time as a human. In other words, this one's so close that the next jump is to humanity.
Well, yes, and I offered this observance only partially.
Well,
frivolously.
Yeah, I understand. I feel the same way. I don't know that any of that's true, but I also very
but
much
me to believe it.
Disagree with Leonard. I don't see how he can hold such a cold view.
I certainly don't either. He certainly sounds like a jerk.
Well, he's look, Leonard is sincere. He has a very strong...
Are you sure?
Unyielding belief in the Bible. Yes. Yes,
so
I am.
So were the Inquisitors.
I know. I appreciate your call, ma'am. I've listened to Leonard over the years. And I know that he is sincere and driven. And has a very narrow interpretation of that which he reads. So he is sincere. It's just that there's a whole lot of people who would disagree with him, and I am one of them. That an animal is just an animal. It's no big deal, you know. No big deal. This guy hung it from a tree and had the pit bull attack it. Just an animal. Bury it. Forget it. Don't decry that kind of behavior. It's no big deal. It's only an animal. It is an interesting insight, I believe, into Leonard. And into a religious extremism. Because that's what I think it is. Religious extremism. And I guess that's why I'm not so structured in my beliefs. I have them. But I fully believe that the God I know would definitely have some harsh words for you when you get up there if you did that sort of thing when you were here. I mean, you would be judged, it seems to me, on that sort of behavior. So it's not a non-issue, and that's kind of what Leonard was saying, that, you know, it's just an animal, it's a total non-issue. None of that sort of behavior is relevant to man's relationship with God. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hey, yes.
This is Ryan in Nashville.
Okay, you're going to have to speak up good and loud. You're hard to hear.
This is Ryan in Nashville.
Yes, Ryan.
First of all, I just want to apologize for the other Nashville call.
No, you don't have to apologize for it.
I just don't want everybody to think that's what everybody thinks about you down here.
Oh, well, that's quite all right. Look, people have very mixed views of me and what I do. And that's fine. If I wasn't getting strong reactions, then I wouldn't be doing much at all. So I'm here not to have a happy little rose garden club, but we're here to talk about things that are very controversial. And because we do that, people have strong reactions to what we do. And that's good.
Okay. All right. One thing I was going to say was, what if the world as we know it was just the speck.
It is.
On in another bit, even bigger world.
Oh. I've heard that theory. In other words, that we're all sort of like tiny little...
We're like fleas.
Cellular-sized things running about on the face of a much larger reality that we don't see. Right?
Yeah, and what if we were, like, up some giant guy's nose? Would that make the Freeman a virus or a flu?
No, that would make all of us something of an irritant. And with one sneeze, we might all go...
Yeah.
Pretty ugly thought. I appreciate your call, sir. Pretty ugly thought. And like an alien implant, our host might sneeze us out one day. Sheesh. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Let me turn the radio down.
That's good. No, you still got to turn it down.
I'm trying. There we go.
That's good. No, you still
got
to turn it down.
I still got it up. There we go. We got it.
Good.
First time caller, obviously.
Obviously. Where are you?
Portland, Oregon.
All right.
Dan.
That's the city of my book signing.
Huh?
That's the city where I went for a book signing.
Yes, I missed it. Had to work that day.
Ah.
Just moved up here. Just wanted to call and tell you you do a great job. It's a thrill to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
Been listening for a couple years driving up and down I-5 at night.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanted to say good job. Thanks.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you. And I appreciate your call. And sometimes calls like that are just nice to get. We do a lot of different things on this program. And I'm firmly convinced that is why it succeeds the way it does. It's not agenda-driven. It's not driven by anything in particular. If current events are what's hot, we do that. If not, there's a million other things to do. There is more to life, I am convinced, than politics. A person can only take so much politics. And for some reason, talk radio at some point has decided, for some unknown reason, and I think it may have to do with Rush Limbaugh, that to be successful, it must be political. It just isn't so. It is not even an accurate reflection of life. I mean, look at those people around you, in your office, in your home, your acquaintances, people you know. How much time do you personally, or with your friends, spend in a discussion of Clinton versus Dole? Or the Republicans versus the Democrats? In real life, tell me, how much of your time do you spend doing that? I think the answer is not full time. That you have a life that goes beyond that, right? Way beyond that. And that, if anything, that's a minimum amount of your time. So,
this is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Once again, here we go into the world of the unknown. Feel free, if you like, to bring up anything, start us off on a path or a direction that you would like to see us go on. This is Open Line, Unscreened Talk Radio. It's all up to you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
I'm on the air.
You're on the air.
Well, the reason I was calling, I wanted to make a comment about the Christian view of how to care for animals. There's scripture to believe that the righteous man cares for his animals. That's in Proverbs.
Yes, we've been told that already. So
okay, and that a sparrow does not fall apart from the Father being there. And also, Jesus talked about who among you would not leave the 99 and go after the last of his sheep that's lost. So there's many scripture references that people care for their animals, and we have the same nature as the Father once we're born again.
I will understand that. Thank you. I will understand that, but it would seem true that some people have a different interpretation, and that's religion, that's everything else. Everybody puts their own little stamp on it, it seems. It's like interpretation of the Constitution. You can read it in many ways, and it's obvious that Leonard reads it in his very own way. But again, it reminds me of those religious fanatics that have tried to beat religion into their offspring. It seems to me that you can be too fanatical about anything, even religion. You would say, well, extremism in the cause of God, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a little bent on Barry Goldwater's statement. But there can be. There absolutely can be. Extremism anywhere can be a negative. Can be taken too far. Things can be taken too far, right? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art?
Yes.
I just got a couple things to throw at you. A little change of pace.
All right. Where are you throwing from?
I'm George from Chandler, Arizona.
Okay, George. What's on your mind?
Do you know a man by the name of Bruce Williams?
Yes, I do. Well, I don't know him personally. I know of his show.
Now, he is still on?
Yes. I believe Bruce Williams is still on someplace, yes.
Okay. All right. That's well, I wanted to know that because I heard the other day somebody said they were still listening to him, and I thought he either died or retired.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I have one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
This lady astronaut who's up there and going to be up there for 100 and...
Shannon.
Yeah, 140 days.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you know how they do their clothes? Do they take... do they have a big place to put underwear and things like that, or...
Oh, I imagine her stockings are probably hanging from some of the more important equipment up there. And
I see.
Slamming the Russian astronauts and the cosmonauts, in the face.
You know, 140 days, that's a long time to try and...
Why, yes, it is.
...have clothes. I mean, they're going to change once in a while. And
yes.
Well,
I mean, haven't you ever walked into the bathroom and ducked under the hanging hose?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay, there you are. So it's not going to be any different in the space station, as a matter of fact. She'll just be, you know, hanging her stockings, dripping stockings off communications gear and all the rest of it. It'll be interesting to see how it works out. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Going once. Going twice. Gone. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning. I can barely hear you, sir.
Good morning, Art.
There you are. That's better.
Okay. You wanted to know about catastrophe theory.
That was yesterday, but yes.
Yeah. Well, it's a mathematical theory about radical changes in systems. Okay? And, well...
The crux of which is that any system complex enough will crash and burn?
Well... To a certain extent, like what I know about it is what I have in my dissertation on dark molecular clouds, in which there's dramatic phase changes in clouds. For the layman, you have catastrophe theory when you have, say, something like the melting of ice, where it undergoes a phase change, or either it changes from liquid to gas, or liquid to solid, whatever. Well, apparently, what Teddy was doing, the Unabomber, was he had derived a theory about social relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, what's disturbing about it is he could be right, because there was a mathematician named Poincaré in the later half of the 19th century who was really the founder of chaos theory.
Mm-hmm.
And he had proved some theorems that he actually didn't believe. Well, apparently, Teddy has... maybe he has proved some theorems. I don't know. He hasn't written anything about his theorem, so I haven't done a library search on it, but he feels like society is crumbling, and he's maybe freaked out about this, And
well, he feels apparently that the agent is within, or the disease is within, that it is technology.
Yeah, he does. Well, personally, I think he's not, okay, but given his IQ and given the predilection of certain people who have been French people in mathematics before, they've been, in many cases, they've been right.
I realize that. Thank you. And we talked about this yesterday, that is there not a possibility that if you could visit 100 or 200 years into the future, that you would find history books praising the Unabomber, not for what he did, not for the manner of the message delivery, but for the accurate portrayal of exactly what was going on, that technology eventually will be the downfall of mankind, that there will be some sort of revolution akin to the one that Mao had, with a purging of intellectuals, and those who forward the concept of a technology, that will all crash and burn, and those who had anything to do with the technological age will be, as the Chinese did in their revolution, purged. And there will be some sort of phoenix that will rise from the ashes of the technological civilization. Some sort of phoenix that will be a very different future for what is left of mankind after the catastrophic event. And I kind of took it from there and said, what would you expect to rise from the ashes of that civilization? Anybody else want to try that? Wild card line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art. Gerhardt in Oakland, California.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of these people who, I think I've told you this before, I would, and I have, and I continue to, I put out food for homeless cats and dogs. Mm-hmm. But homeless people, I would just step right over. In every case, animals are humane. But people, not quite so. So for that reason, I would say that I would put, especially cats and dogs, on the same level as people. And when it comes to liberals, I would even put them above liberals, okay? But I think Leonard's problem is he's hung around too many cows for too long, you know? Animals do have souls. There is no doubt about that whatsoever.
Well, there is doubt.
Not really. Well,
really, there is.
I regard
you, based on what you just said, as extreme on one side as Leonard is apparently on the other.
Now, I have...
Why would you regard animals above people? Why would you step over a human homeless person without a thought, not considering the individual plight, and feed stray animals and dogs? I mean, cats and dogs, that just, you know, it's as extreme in one direction as he is in the other.
Well, because the people will stab you in the back as soon as you go across the corner.
Not never.
They will urinate on your porch.
All right, well, that's enough. Thanks. You know, there is no such thing as... this man paints a broad brush and Leonard paints a broad brush. And that's how I find myself comfortably in the middle. I don't believe in torture of animals, nor am I without compassion for people. Morning, you're on the air on my international line. Where are you calling from, please?
Oh, I'm calling from Seattle. I didn't realize this was international line.
Well, somehow you made it on there. I don't know how. You shouldn't have. That's a line you should not call. But thank you for the call. Somehow you... How do you get access to that anyway? Weird. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Cool, I got through.
You got through.
I got two quick points to mention.
All right. First of all, turn your radio off.
Hey, turn the radio off, man.
Yeah, hey, man, do that.
I'm telling my roommate to turn the radio off.
Yes.
Okay, the call you got earlier about that animal cruelty show that he saw on HBO?
Yes.
Okay, there was a rabbi, a professor on there.
Uh-huh.
And he made a reference of actually the Asians who eat the dogs and cats.
Yes.
His point was that people don't people in the Western culture are, you know, they gross out on stuff like that, but that we don't think the same way about, you know, us slaughtering cows and pigs and stuff like that.
All right, but look, here's the difference, folks. Even though I abhor the idea of eating dogs and cats because we in the West have them as pets, even though we don't like the idea that people are eating these animals that we regard as pets, they're not torturing them. And the discussion we're having is with regard to torture. Torture. And that would apply to a cow. I wouldn't torture a cow. I wouldn't condone the torture of a cow. Why would you want to torture a cow, even if you're going to use it for food? You kill it in the most humane way possible. And I would regard the torture of a cow the same way I would regard the torture of a cat. I wouldn't regard it well at all. And the person who would do it, I think, would be in a moral, mortal danger. Their soul would be in danger, for I feel it is a sin. Doesn't matter what kind of animal it is or person. You don't torture a life. When you torture life, you show a reckless disregard for it. And I doubt that our Maker is going to be real happy about that. So as you ascend, if you do, you know, try quoting the passages that you think support the torture of animals, and I doubt you're going to get very far. Level one, maybe. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Let me get this radio here.
Thank you. Get that radio there.
The reason why I called you is concerning technology.
Yes, sir.
The Unabomber.
Yes, sir.
I think this guy is missing a big point here, and this is why I don't think we'll ever see the Unabomber being appreciated down the road, is the fact that technology is as much a part of our nature as human beings as it is for lions to chase down impalas on the savannah. We can't help it. It's what we do. It's part of what we are. Whether or not this technology eventually will overcome us and destroy us, now that's another matter. That's possible. It could happen. But it's not something that's unnatural for us. It's natural for us to build houses, ships, planes, computers, artificial hearts, whatever.
Right.
We're the tool makers. That's what we do. That's how we have survived.
Yes, but it may be getting a bit ahead of us.
Now that's a good possibility. That's a good possibility. We are progressing ever faster.
I'm not sure the social structure or change is keeping up with the change in technology.
Well, no, I agree with you there. The more I look around at human societies, I'm more and more convinced that we're not as far from the cave-dwelling ancestors that we sprang forth from. Yeah, socially.
Uh-huh. All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call, and have a good morning. Again, let me go to my international line. You're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Art.
Hello. Where are you, sir?
Calling from Taipei.
Taipei, Taiwan. All right.
Yes, sir.
That's where Bob Crane just was.
You're kidding. I didn't know that.
No, he was, yes, just over in Taipei. How's everything in Taipei this morning?
Well, I'll tell you, we got up this morning and had coffee and heard the sirens go off, you know, the air raid sirens. So it was a little unnerving there, but it was just a test.
Just a test. Well,
just a test.
Yeah. that would unnerve me too if I were in Taipei.
Yeah, but I think everything's pretty settled down and the financial markets are all settled down and things look pretty good here, really.
That's exactly what I've heard and I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. Well, I always listen to you back home in Sacramento, so I figured I'd give you a call over here.
Well, I'm glad you did, and feel free to call any time and give us a report. If anything happens, we're going to depend on you to get on the phone right away.
I'll be your correspondent.
All right, good for you. Thank you very much for the call, Taipei, Taiwan. And that place was pretty hot a little while ago. Boy, was it hot. And maybe again. You never know about the Chinese. You never know about the North Koreans. It's particularly the North Koreans right now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
All right, this is Jim in Baton Rouge.
How you doing, Jim?
Okay, tried to get through to you Friday, and I was one of those where it was 1, 2, 3, you're gone, and I could hear the delay as it clicked off on me.
Oh, no. I know it happens.
You know, it's funny about that volcano, because that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about then, and it was the fact that I'd heard it about a week ago.
Are you talking about Montserrat?
In Montserrat, right.
Yes.
And I said, well, Art's going to talk about it on the show, so I'll just wait to hear from him, and then it never came up.
Oh, no, I've been mentioning Montserrat now for days.
Oh, have you?
Montserrat.
Okay.
Yes.
Because we get you till 3.
Oh, I see.
On WJBO, and then I have to listen to you, if I can, on my car radio while I'm doing my paper route, either on 790, 810, or 550.
I see.
And they fade real bad. But I wanted to mention a couple of things about the cat, and also pit bulls in general.
Sure.
And also had another, you remember those country western songs you had last week? I had one that my girlfriend told me about that's a really interesting one, and I'll tell that in last. But as far as the dogs, do you remember True Magazine?
I do indeed.
There was an article when I was a teenager in it called The Cruelest Game Since Rome, and it was about pit bull fighting or dog fighting, which isn't limited to pit bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Shar Pei's are a fighting breed, and there's a lot of outlawed other breeds. But the whole article went on to describe this fight and describe this guy, how he'd taken his dog to the fight. And incidentally, all the pit bulls were trained on cats and some chickens, too. But they usually use a treadmill with little kittens in a cage. And that's really horrible.
Boy.
But this guy, you know, his dog won the fight and died later from internal injuries. And then the parting statement on the whole article was, the guy goes, yeah, it's pretty tough when you lose a dog when you have a sport like this. You just really got to love dogs. And it was just, you know, I don't know if that was artistic license on the part of the writer, but, you know, I know how some of these people seem to be. I've known a person that fought dogs. Here in Louisiana, it's common in some areas. We're still having a problem with cockfighting here.
Well, when I was overseas, they used to have what were called habu mongoose fights. And that's snake.
Yeah, Okinawa habu, yeah. Mongo.
Yeah, that's right. And I didn't even like those. I just...
Anytime you pit an ass, like, you know, this thing going on with Marty Stauffer right now.
Mm-hmm.
About the staged animal shows. But anyway, it's a sad thing. If you go to the Miami International Airport right now, you'll find jackrabbits living in that airport. And they are there because they got loose from a crate and they were brought there to train greyhounds with.
Right. I couldn't be a part of any of it, really.
Right.
But
I
guess I'm just soft.
And also, I think you sound identical on the phone, too. The guy from New Orleans called Friday talking about it, and I have to say, I almost said it a couple of times, but I don't see any difference.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. We're going to have a great controversy about everything. How I sound on the phone compared to how I sound on the radio. Some think it's totally different. Some say it's exactly the same. It's not really worth arguing about. We'll be back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 9th of April, 1996.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air, top of the morning.
Hello, Art Bell.
Yes?
How you doing? I got a couple commentaries to make on your program here. I listen to you talk about a lot of diverse subjects. When you always have time for UFOs and time for immortals and stuff along that nature of supernatural and demonic. But when anyone ever starts talking about Christianity or being born again or some true spirituality, you seem to cut them off.
That's ridiculous. We've spent hours on that this morning.
Well, I've heard...
You picked a kind of an unusual, strange day to make that complaint, because...
You are a very worldly man, and you purport many ideologies of the underworld, including the UFOs, the effect of immortals. If they are immortals, they're vampires, because they're sucking the life force out of people. Demons are masquerading in many forms, and you are their talking boy.
Think I'm the top demon?
You seem to be bringing up people into people's lives a lot of ideas of demonology and trying to close their mind to Christianity. You talk about an open mind, but there's only one way to be open and one way into the Lord, and it sure as hell ain't through chasing UFOs.
Well, then don't chase them. Then, sir, you should not chase them.
I do not.
Well, then don't worry about it.
I am in league with Jesus in the Bible, and I know the interpretation of the Bible says man should
well,
have
then you are,
over earth.
Then, sir, you are comfortable within your own faith. That's fine.
What's that?
I say then you are...
I'm not comfortable with you trying to convert people and...
I'm not trying to convert anybody to anybody, anything. You're absolutely... wait a minute. You're wrong. I'm not trying to convert anybody to anything.
You're part of the whole New World Order.
I am.
Conspiracy. Against Christianity and the American people, you are the talking boy of Satan.
Really?
How can you justify bringing up subjects that don't exist? None of this stuff exists.
People can talk about anything they want on this program. Anything.
You give full credence to the fact that there might be people from outer space.
There might.
Where in the Bible did God ever talk about creating another world? He said created one world.
Only us, what? Huh? We're the only ones in this vast... a universe, wait a minute, in this vast universe.
Yeah, there. Yes, I truly believe that.
You
if
do?
There is anything else out there, it's a demon.
All right, well, look, sir, I wouldn't tamper with your faith. If you want to believe that any other life anywhere is demonic, be my guest. Be my guest. And if you want to believe I'm the devil incarnate, be my guest. Frankly, I don't give a damn. All right? I would not challenge nor belittle your faith, and I don't do that with anybody. And I don't like it when it's done with regard to mine. And you don't know what I believe. You only think you do. My mind is open. If that makes me the devil's talking boy, then so be it. You know, if you don't like it, turn it off. Your radio has an off button. Go turn it off. Why are you listening? Why are you torturing yourself this way? That's what I would say. So, if that's the way you feel, well, you know, that's the way you feel. That's life. Turn it off. Or, are you compelled to listen? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I'm really surprised I got through. I'm calling from Eva Beach. My name is Lori.
Hi, Lori. Eva Beach, Hawaii. That's where my wife was born.
Someone told me that. I didn't know it until just recently. I've only been listening for a few months, off and on.
Oh, yes.
And I have an interesting question. I don't know if you've ever talked about it before, but I've spent most of my life having precognitive dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And some are more accurate than others. Some of them are very, very accurate. And I just wanted to ask you something, an unusual question. What would you say if you sometimes knew that people... I dream about deaths. I dream about weddings. I dream about babies being born. A to Z, it's usually emotional things.
Do you dream about taxes at all? Because that would be about the wrap.
I dreamed lottery numbers one time, and I didn't buy the ticket.
that's like telling the story about the big one that got away, but okay.
I wanted to ask you, if you know that someone is going to die, do you think there's a clear-cut answer on whether you should try to prevent it?
No, there's no clear-cut answer because... I'm not clear cut about destiny. Are you? In other words, even if you are blessed or cursed with knowledge of these sorts of things, no matter how you would look at that,
Right. There are two ways to look at
maybe
it.
Maybe you can't prevent it. I would understand, though, the urge to try and find out whether you could. So why don't you give it a shot one of these days and let us know?
Well, I have, actually. I've prevented a number of things from happening.
How do you know that?
My friends and family have, well, for one example, there was one of those, I don't know what they're called, one of those things that are attached to a fluorescent light in my parents' basement. And I dreamed of a fire in my parents' house, and
yes.
I was extremely alert to it, and it started smoking a day or two after the dream.
Yes.
And because I was alerted to it, I woke everybody up and stopped it when the smoke was coming out.
That's incredible. That would argue, thank you, that there is no such thing as an absolute or manifest destiny, and that you can prevent these sorts of things. On the other hand, the man who called just prior to you probably thinks you are of the devil. Thinks anybody from anywhere else, should they ever show up, should they be out there, are demonic. And the only creations of life are on this planet. And that's God's work, and everything else is the devil's work. And precognition is definitely the devil's work. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
All right, it's kind of hard to follow up a couple of calls ago.
Yeah, that was something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was horrible. He's a perfect example of the people who want to censor everything, that want to take people like you off the air.
I don't mind. I mean, I really don't mind. This is an open program, and we need to hear all views, including those like his. I don't object to it.
Oh, I agree with you, Art. And there's a lot of people out there that would, you know, just because they don't agree with the show or the topics on a show, they want to take it all off the air because they don't agree with it.
I know.
Think that's bogus because, you know, there are people out there like me who enjoy tremendously both of your shows all week long. And, you know, every night I wake up about 4 o'clock because my girlfriend goes to work, and I listen to you for about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then I work on Saturday, on Sunday evenings. I listen to your Dreamland show, and I enjoy it tremendously. And he said something about men of faith don't believe in things like that. I'll tell you a little story. When I was give me just a second. When I was growing up, when I was about 8 years old, we were living in an older house in a small town in Kansas. And I'm calling from Oklahoma City.
Oh yes, sir.
The small house, we have been told that the people that had lived there before us, there was 2 or 3 families that had lived there, and they had only stayed there for maybe a month or a month and a half, and then moved out. And I guess you can probably know what I'm getting to. The house was very haunted, and
fair.
We had a minister come to the house, and he no longer was in the house, maybe 10 minutes, and he said that there was he got scared himself just being in the house.
Sure.
He could feel something just wrong.
Sure.
And he said the house itself changed his opinion of, he had never sensed or felt anything like that. And
I never have. I can't say that I've ever felt. Well, that's not right. I have once. But I've never really felt the presence of something. I just destroyed my own argument. I did once. And this would really drive people totally batsoid. But I felt that I've felt the presence of a cat I once had.
Oh, really?
Actually, the presence of, yes. That cat died in my arms. Somebody shot it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I didn't know that it was shot. I saw the wound, but I never related it to a bullet wound. And it, in fact, it healed, but the poor cat died of lead poisoning. And I never knew it until afterward. It was horrible. It died in my lap. And it was a cat named Yesu. And it was the saddest thing that ever happened to me. But I once, and in fact a few times, I felt the presence of that cat. Now, see, that'll really drive people crazy. The soul of an animal returned? Oh,
oh yeah. there was, you know, you would take showers. I know my mom, I wasn't really old enough to understand what was happening, but my mom, she's told me stories to where she would be in the shower and she would get this sense, this feeling that there was somebody in the shower with her. She would get out because it would scare her to the point where she didn't want to be in the shower anymore.
You know
how windows would fog up, you know, your mirrors in the bathroom would fog up.
Sure.
She would come out of the shower and the window would be, I don't remember exactly how she put it, but it wouldn't be totally fogged over. It would be like there would be sections of it that would be fogged. And they couldn't explain this. They had, you know, it was either to the point where it wasn't foggy and she would go do something and come back and it would be foggy.
Yep.
Or
I wouldn't like that at all.
Well, it was really strange. The whole house, I remember, you know, a lot of things about that house that just to this day, I watched the show on sightings. I had to turn it off because of that house. Things
all right, sir. Well, listen, I've got to run. I appreciate your call and your story. I wouldn't like that at all. Showers are very important private places where I do a lot of very important thinking. I've done some of my better thinking in a shower. And I would want to be there by myself. And if I found that somebody else was sloshing about in my shower, I'd be very upset. Okay, what a surprise. Back to the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
I'm sorry I got off so late because it'll upset everybody probably, or most people. I used to make short trips out of town on weekends, and I noticed coming back on Sunday evenings that there would be animals, dogs, you know, run over in the road, and it just seemed like it was terrible. There were so many. I couldn't figure it out. I finally was told by someone that these were dogs that they'd had in dog fights, and they'd had them back in pickups.
Oh, that's
awful.
When
they'd be injured so bad that they wouldn't recover anything, they'd throw them out back in pickups. If it didn't kill them when they hit the highway, then cars would run over them.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I've got a what if. A few days ago, someone called in and said, what if we were, I think it's something like this, the trial planet for the rest of the universe.
Yeah.
I've got a what if.
What if?
What if this is the toxic dumping ground of the rest of the universe?
The high-level nuclear waste dump for the universe. Well, then we have turned out according to plan. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art, this is Bill in Portland.
Hi, Bill.
I'm actually in my semi driving along. I hope you can hear me okay.
I can hear you. It's a little muffled, but I hear you.
Okay, I'll speak up. I'm kind of upset about the dog story. I just think pit bulls take too much of a bad rap. Personally, I own three of them. And I've heard your argument in the past over, you know, you can't say there isn't a mean dog, which I agree. But it's all in how you raise them.
I think so.
And, you know, I hope in one sense that this guy didn't do this for these animal rights activists to get these pit bulls banned in certain areas. You know, my grandmother passed away here about a year ago, and I was back in Cincinnati, and there's a county over there, I think it's Washington, that you're not even allowed to have a pit bull in that county.
There are a number of cities and areas like that now, sir. No, look, I don't want to enter the whole pit bull controversy again because I think we pretty well settled it. While the pit bull may be capable of a greater physical response, and therefore is favored by people who would train dogs to be mean, to eat cats or people or whatever, I don't think the pit bull is necessarily any meaner than any other animal. It's how you raise it. It's just the capability of the pit bull that makes people raise it to attack, to be an attack dog. And it's that capability and perhaps some breeding toward that end, but mostly the capability of the breed that makes people want to train it in a certain way. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, you know, I'm kind of old-fashioned. People that torture animals, I think they ought to be horsewhipped, some of them. But I was wondering, Art, if it, what if kind of for me, if you died and there was like a, you could do your show in the on a universal level, who would be some of your guests on Dreamland? Do you think your first guest, like for example, like Ben Franklin or Hitler or Jesus or something like that? Who do you think some of your guests would
be? You mean if I could have any of those?
Yeah, it would be Art Bell's Universal talk show. And then
well, we'd do. We'd certainly start out with Jesus. That would be a great way to start that show. But we'd eventually get around to Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
Maybe Judge Crater, Amelia Earhart. I mean,
yeah.
Now, that would be some list.
Yeah, sure would.
Next week, hear what really happened from Amelia Earhart. That'd
all right,
be cool.
I'll tune in when I'm there.
Maybe I'll make a list, a wish list of guests, you know, and we'll see what happens.
All right.
All right?
Take it easy.
Thank you for the call. I never thought about that. Next week, right here, Amelia Earhart. Sure, you'd start with Jesus because you'd want to know. Maybe even the man himself, huh? Of course, I doubt he could do 3 hours. Well, sure he could if he wanted to. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Is it Art?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling from Helena, Montana.
Yes, sir. Oh, you've got a terrible sounding phone.
I'm on my cell phone. I just got off of work.
Okay.
On the way home.
All right.
I just want to comment on that Unabomber. I think that he's giving everyone a bad reputation over here in Montana.
Montana's had a rough go of it lately. There is no question about it.
Yeah, I don't know. He just, you know, that and the Freeman, everyone that comes up here, you know, they just, you know, that's all they talk about. You know, they don't really talk about really everything else that's good about it.
Well, somebody sent me a fax not long ago and said, well, at least it's a change-up from the river runs through it that was bringing all these Californians out here. Now maybe they'll stay home.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
All right, thank you very much for the call. And back to the lines. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, good morning there, Art.
Good morning there, sir.
Mr. Demon Master, I must be a demonologist then.
Oh, wasn't that something?
Yeah, that messed up my whole train of thought. Now, this is Mike in Cheyenne.
Yes, Mike.
1480 K-Ray country.
You bet.
Just wanted to send a message out. If those guys up there in Justice Compound are listening up there, knock it off. You're giving those of us who like our guns a bad name.
Well, they haven't used any yet. They've just carried them, and they can do that. But
yeah, fuels the fire for the Democrats.
I just feel sorry for the people in Montana who haven't had this much negative publicity since, you know, Montana became a state.
Yeah, we're directly south of there, and it's a beautiful state, and I hope it doesn't get vilified by all this.
Well, I imagine Benson or somebody like him will probably do a cartoon showing the river runs through it, littered with free men bodies or something.
I imagine. Well, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too, sir. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
On the subject of technology and science as being sort of a ruin of our society.
Right. Real quickly, because we're about out of time.
Okay. That was the subject of one of the first UFO contacts in 1950.
Oh, UFOs. Here we go.
With Dan Fry.
Yes.
Dan Fry was a scientist at the White Sands Proving Ground in New Mexico.
All right, listen, we are now out of time, so all you've got time to do is do the honors. Do you know how to do that?
No.
You don't?
No.
All right. Say goodnight, America.
Goodnight, America.
That's how you do it. I'm sorry, everybody. The time is the time is the time. So, 'tis the devil's mouthpiece telling you good night, America.